Friday, loves. It's Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN, and we're talking about, well, it's the Ghost Show. It's late October. Don't know what's going to happen in the news in the next few days, and I'm choosing my spot. So if you've had a ghost sighting, paranormal experience, you know, the one thing I've always been curious about is nursing homes, places like the various hospice organizations, hospitals. People die in those places all the time. And I would have to think that they would be filled with paranormal activity. Funeral homes, are they filled with paranormal activity? 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Let's go to... oh, my goodness. Let's go to Karen in Cheektowaga. You are on WBEN. Hello.
Hi, Tom. I wanted to tell you a story about when my father died. He died in May 1991, and it was sudden. He went into the hospital for a medical procedure, and his heart stopped, and he passed away unexpectedly. We never expected that to happen. Anyway, within the month, he liked to be in a workshop in his basement. So within that month after he passed, I was in his workshop trying to look through things he had down there. And he used to have a small battery-operated transistor radio he would listen to all the time, pocket size. So I turned the radio on, and it didn't work. It had batteries in it. I changed the batteries. It still didn't work. So I thought, well, there must be something broken within the radio, the wires or whatever. So I put it in this small open trash can in his workshop. And a few days after that, my mother was in the basement doing laundry. It was right near the workshop area. And she called me. I was at work. She called me. She said, the radio started playing. I said, oh, I don't know how that could happen. And she said, it's playing a song. There's got to be a morning after. That Maureen McGovern song?
Poseidon Adventure? Yeah.
And I said, oh, my God. And it really, I thought, that's my dad. He's trying to tell us that he's okay and we're going to be okay. So I went home. I went to their home after work, and she had turned the radio off then. And I tried it. I turned the radio on. It wouldn't play. It just wouldn't play. So that's why I think it was my dad telling us, don't worry, everything's going to be fine. And he's fine.
Are you telling everybody listening that the radio started playing a song on its own without any human action, and it had no batteries? There was no power source?
There was batteries in it, Tom. I left the batteries in. I just threw it in the trash can. And
wow.
This was a few days later. And my mother called me, I believe my mom, and she said it started to play. I don't know what it could have been, Tom. I mean, if she had picked it up off the trash can and jiggled it, maybe it might have jiggled wires, but she said she didn't do that.
And not even the vibration of the dryer or the washer on the spin cycle or the even that would have been enough.
I don't know what to say.
How despondent was your mom over losing your dad?
Very upset. They were married 46 years, and it was it wasn't something we expected was going to happen. He was going to be coming home that day from the medical test, and he was only 65. So, yeah, it was a shock.
So, I mean, yeah, that is a shock. If you're just going in for something routine and you don't come home, you know, there have been some famous people in history to whom that has happened. I'm sorry that happened to your dad. May I ask what happened? Did he have unexpected cardiac arrest during surgery or something?
Yes, he did, yeah.
And how long ago would this have been, roughly?
It was 32 years ago.
Yeah, probably it might not have happened today, but then again, did they ever figure out a cause for the cardiac arrest? Was it a narrowing of the arteries?
Yes, it was. Yeah, they tried to revive him and do it. They did a quadruple bypass, and his heart wouldn't start again.
Oh, man, I'm so sorry to hear that.
Yeah,
that's a really That's a really interesting story. I mean, thank God it was. There's got to be a morning after and not Highway to Hell, because that would ruin every. That would ruin a lot of days right there.
I know. And my dad was always one to look after everybody in the family. And, oh, my God, he's been so missed. So I just think that was his way of telling my mom that everything's going to work out for her. She's going to be okay, and he's all right. And it actually gave us comfort that this happened.
I think that's entirely understandable, my love. Thank you very much. Interesting story. I mean, that's a paranormal occurrence by anybody's definition. Your ghost stories, paranormal occurrences, as we draw close to Halloween. This is the show for which you wait all year, and it is my boss, Tim Wenger's, favorite topic ever. If Tim had his way, I would do this topic every single day, four straight hours, and that is what's called sarcasm. Let's get to Abby in Lancaster on WBEN. Abby, hello.
Hi, how are you?
Yes, ma'am.
So when I was about 12, my grandmother died unexpectedly. I mean, she died of natural causes, but it was unexpected. We had her funeral. It was closed casket, so we couldn't see her. It was really hard on me, but when we came home that night after the wake, she was sitting, I saw a ghost of her sitting in my bedroom.
And you would have been how old then?
I was 12.
And for how long was your grandmother sitting there?
It was probably about 3 minutes before I ran out of the room.
Really? Okay. I have to tell you that, I mean, I can't speak for everybody, but, if somebody I care about has died and I come home from the wake and I see them sitting in my room or in the house, I'm going to try to engage them in conversation. Did you try
to? I was 12.
So did you just sit there for like 3 minutes in abject terror and panic, or was there a feeling
of
comfort?
I felt a sense of peace. I could totally see, you know, that it was her. She was glowing. She was in her pajamas. She was just sitting there. She didn't say anything, do anything to hurt me, obviously. But she just, let me know that she was there, and I felt like she let me know she was okay because we couldn't see her. And then I just, ran out of the room to tell everybody that I had seen her.
And that was the one and only time, and you were the one and only person to whom she appeared?
Yes. Yeah.
Did your parents believe you?
My mom and my sisters did. My dad, who that was his mother, he did not.
Unexpected circumstances and closed casket. I don't want to pry if it's inappropriate, yeah. But first thing I'm thinking of is an automobile accident.
No, she passed. She just dropped in her bathroom of natural causes. So, you know, lividity and everything. So we couldn't see her. She was just not presentable.
And I'm sorry, she wasn't found for a few days, you said?
No, they found her that morning. She had died during the day, and then they found her the next morning. So she had been laying there for a little bit. She had been living by herself.
You know, I'm a big believer. If you've got, if you're a senior citizen and you are living alone, those necklaces that people put on where you press the button and you can call for help, are huge lifesavers. And I really strongly recommend those to anybody listening. You might have elderly parent who is living alone at home. Is it going to kill you to pay for the necklace they wear, as long as they wear it? Now, if they don't wear it, it doesn't do any good, but they got to wear it.
I don't think it would have done any good because she died as soon as she fell. And she, I don't know if they had them, but when she had died, I don't know how long they've had those.
Yeah. At least 30 years. They've gotten better and better. So I presume it was a sudden heart attack.
Yeah, she had just you know, everything just went. You know, she was really old, so.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm sorry to hear that, but I mean, do you get any comfort from the fact that you saw her after the funeral?
I did. I really did, because I didn't get to really say goodbye to her because I couldn't see her, and no one could see her. But I got to see her when she came to the house.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much for the call. It's an amazing story. Thank you. Your ghost stories. How many of you have lost somebody and then you've seen them like they have come back to comfort you or something? I've never seen a ghost. I have had paranormal experiences. The EVP thing I told you about before. But that's about it. I've never seen one. So you have to got to educate me on this stuff. So you got about a half hour to get in your ghost story or paranormal encounter on WBEN for the 2023 calendar year. And let's go to Joel in Alden next up. Joel, you are on. Hello.
Hey, thank you very much for having me on the show here. I have a ghost story that takes place back in the 70s when I was a teenager. Not to tick you off, but I lived on Indian Church Road, and Indian Orchard was right behind our house, and Indian Park was on the street, but nothing to do with Indian graveyards, okay? We'll get that straight.
That is one of my aggravations, and it goes back to being a kid. Oh, our houses are built on Indian graves. Yeah, like,
oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Anyway, I was out in South Buffalo, and as a teenager, I've always been a late night person, and I would stay up till dawn some of the time. And in our house, I would sit in the living room. The dining room was off to the right, and you would always see just like something moving by out the corner of your eye. And it was always there. I would have friends sleep over at the house, and we had the full-out couch. And the next morning, they get me like, I'm never staying here again. And say, why? Somebody was looking at me out that room all night long. and my mom, same with her. She'd be like, did you see them peeking at us again last night? I got up to get a drink of water, and somebody was in there looking at us again.
And somebody was in the house. In where?
In the dining room. Like, I was in the living room, and you'd be watching TV. The dining room was off to the right, and we had the big doors you could slide and close off the room. You know, yeah. So it was one of those real old houses out there. But you always catch an image out the corner of your eye, either looking around the wall or passing through the room. Never made a noise, never disturbed anything, but you always had that corner of your eye motion. And like I said, everybody in the family would see it. Once in a while, the light would go on in the room, it'd just go on and it'd turn off. But other than that, it got to the point where like you're just used to it. Like, all right, okay, I'm going to bed. Quit bugging me.
You know, that's very interesting that you adjusted to that. I mean, I don't know that this really counts as a paranormal experience, but I had an apartment. Actually, it was an apartment adjoining the one that was supposedly haunted by little kids' laughter, where one night I went to sleep, and the light was definitely off, and I woke up in the morning, and the light was definitely on, and I didn't wake up in the middle of the night. So was it paranormal? Did I just have the switch, did the switch just... was it not properly in the proper off position? I don't know, but it definitely was a little bit weird. I have some questions if you want to hold on.
Sure.
And if you don't, I totally get it. So put him on hold. We've got news coming up with Tom Puckett on News Radio 930 WBEN and another traffic report from Alan Harris. And your calls, because they make the show go round on your ghost and paranormal stories, sightings, experiences. I feel so cheated out of these. You guys have them all, and I seem to have none. You guys are hogging all the paranormal experiences. Thanks a lot. It's Bowerly. 803-0930 is the landline number. Star 930 on the cell phone and 1-800-616-WBEN.
I ain't afraid of no ghosts.
I don't know. Can you guys think of a better song? Because I can't. Just makes sense. All right, doing the annual ghost show, the one you love, 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Great job by Tanner Saunders behind the glass, making the magic happen because he makes the big bucks. Let's go back to Joel in Alden, who told us about this shadow ghost that basically was a bit of a voyeur, but, you know, watched a friend sleep over on a couch. He'd catch him under the corner of the eye. The mother saw it. So we have multiple witnesses who've seen this shadow ghost. Did this ghost ever, alleged ghost, ever go away, or was it there for as long as you lived in the house? That's what I wanted to
know. It was there. Matter of fact, after I got married and moved out, my parents were for quite a while, and my mom would bring it up every so often. You know, I'd say, "You still got your company?" She'd be like, "Yeah, they're still here." And they've been out of the house probably, I don't know, close to 20 years now. And I always wondered if the new owners had any problems with them at all. Like, I shouldn't even say problems. It's just you knew they were there. They didn't bother you, but you just knew they were there.
Well, I think it wouldn't freak me out, but I think after a while I would say, hey, I'm not that exciting. I think you can go home now, wherever home happens to be for you. I wonder what that was all about.
I don't know. I don't know whether it was somebody who passed away and never left the house, or, you know, a lot of those homes there were originally, you know, the same families in them for years.
You know, and what year build was this roughly?
I couldn't tell you.
All right.
It was on Indian Church Road in South Buffalo. So,
but I mean, 1800s, 1900s.
Probably late 1800s, somewhere around there.
Cool. All right, man. Thank you, Joel in Alden. I appreciate the phone call. Let's get to Mark in Tonawanda on WBEN. Mark, you are on the Ghost Show, the extravaganza we do once a year.
Thank you, Tom. Yeah, this is a paranormal situation that dealt with my grandmother and my father. They were living in North Tonawanda at the time. My dad was probably a little over three. And my grandmother was telling me that she had sent my grandfather off to work and my Aunt Julia out to play. And she was in the kitchen cleaning up after breakfast, doing dishes. And while she's at the sink working, my dad went out the back door onto the little back porch. And she didn't think anything of it. She's working along. And she says all of a sudden she feels like something push her away from the sink. And she thought, oh, this is kind of strange. But went back to the sink, went back to doing her dishes. And she says it happened again. But she said the second time it pushed with such force, she stumbled away from the sink backwards. And as she was trying to catch herself, she looks out the door and sees my father's legs sticking out of the rain barrel. And she said she dropped everything, ran out the door, grabbed him, and started shaking him to try and get the water out of him, because he had actually drowned at that point. And finally, he coughed it all out and, obviously, because I'm here, saved his life.
How does a grown man fall into a rain barrel and almost drown?
No, he was three. He was a child at the time.
Okay. I misheard. Wow. So would you say that this is a case where whatever caused your mother to be pushed was actually saving your dad's life?
It has to have been some sort of otherworldly force, because she said it happened twice, and the second time really pushed her to the point that she was stumbling backwards, and that's the only reason she was in a position to look out the door and see my dad, like I say, his legs sticking out of the rain barrel. Yeah.
I mean, that's almost guardian angel stuff.
Well, exactly. Then she says, your grandfather came home from work, and I told him what happened. And she said he went out the door into the backyard to the tool shed, got an axe, came up, and just wailed on the rain barrel. She said shards of wood flying everywhere. He just destroys this thing, puts the axe away, comes in the house, sits down at the table and says to her, what's for dinner?
Was that the only time that they ever admitted to where something of a possibly paranormal nature took place?
As far as I remember, yeah. And I remember my dad talking about it, because his, my grandmother's sister, Mary, she had discussed it with her at one point. And he said that's when he heard about it more was through his aunt than through his mother. And then I guess my grandmother said to him, oh, yeah, you know, this is what happened. And off they would, but they were from Hungary, and this is what happens, and you just get on with your life. It's 1923, and, you know, you're doing the best you can, I guess. It was their attitude.
Wow. Yeah, screw the ghost. Well, I mean, Hungary is not all that far from Transylvania. I mean,
I know.
Thank you very much. Great call, Mark in Tonawanda. Let's go to Melinda in North Tonawanda. Melinda, you are on WBEN.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely. Hey, if your window's down or if you're on speaker, is there some way we can get a better connection here? Because I hear a lot of road noise in the background.
We'll get it right. Hang on.
All right. Sorry, it's just I'm hearing a lot of road noise. Oh. Now I'm not hearing any road noise.
Anything now?
Oh, you're much better now. Yes, thank you.
Okay, great. When my daughter was about two, she was going to have an outpatient surgery. And we were in the waiting room, and she wanted to see the hallway that they were going to take her down. I was like, okay. There was a double door there, and it had a porthole window in it. So we went over, and I picked her up, and we looked through the window. And it was a hallway about 50 feet long. It was all white, and there was nothing in there, not a table, a chair, nothing. And we're looking down there, and she starts waving. And I'm like, who are you waving at? She's like, the man standing at the end of the hallway. And all I can think of is when I was a kid, my dad was a police officer. He was always missing things like my band concert and stuff like that. But at each concert, I would look up. And he would have timed it so he was standing in the back at the end of the hallway. I'm thinking it was him watching over her surgery.
Was it, okay, this is really interesting. Obviously, your dad of a helping nature, wanting to serve humanity by being a police officer. Did your daughter offer any description which would verify that it was your dad? Or did you show your daughter a bunch of pictures, like a lineup, and say, pick the person you saw?
No, I didn't. It was just kind of blew my mind that she was waving to somebody that I could not see, but she was very adamant that there was somebody there.
And is it safe to say that at that point before the surgery, they had not administered any anesthesia?
No, she had nothing. She was clear as a bell at that time.
Wow. That's a really interesting story. I've heard over the years that kids just have a much better ability to see these things than grown-ups, because before we mature, we basically get brainwashed and indoctrinated in the course of our lifetimes from being a child and able to perceive these things to falling into line.
Yeah, that's, was there watching over.
That's really interesting. Obviously, the surgery came out well.
Yes, she did well. Thank you.
All right. Well, happy to hear that. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Anybody else have stories about kids with ghostly experiences? Is it true that kids see things that grown-ups can't? I don't remember being a kid and seeing anything that grown-ups couldn't see. I didn't appreciate invisibility until, well, stealth personnel gear. Let's get back to the calls on WBEN. It's Lydia, one of my all-time favorite names on WBEN. Lydia, you are on. Hello.
Hi there, Tom. How are you?
I love your name. Just so you know, Lydia is an awesome name.
It's different, yeah. I love it.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful, though.
Thank you. This happened in 2002. First of all, my father had passed away in November 2002, and I have a birthday on January 21st, which would be 2003. And I was in bed. I wanted to get up, and I just continued laying there. And all of a sudden, I see him standing at my door. And he come into the room, gave me a kiss on the cheek, wished me a happy birthday, and then turned around and left.
Okay, so many things I want to get into. And again, as we talked about at the beginning of the show, I'm a little bit leery of stories which involve being in bed. Are you absolutely 100% sure that you weren't sleeping?
No. I sat up in bed. I saw him walk in, and he always called me his poop cow. That was the nickname for me. And he gave me the kiss on the cheek, said, "Happy birthday, Poopka," and then he walked out.
And what happened next? Did you immediately get out of bed and say, "You're never going to believe what just happened"?
Oh, no, actually, a few minutes later, my husband walked in. This was a Sunday, so we used to do breakfast in it in the morning. And when he walked in, I just sat there, I had tears coming down my cheek. And I said, "My father came to wish me a happy birthday."
And you would have been about how old when this took place?
22 years ago, and I'm 78 right now, so.
Wow, so that's, all right, so obviously you weren't a child or anything like that. Why that birthday? Why not later birthdays? Is it because he had just died?
Yeah, he died in December. November 30th he died. Wow. And that following January was my birthday.
And obviously, I take it you were very close with your dad?
Very, very close with my dad, yeah. I think that's one of the reasons he came by to wish me a happy birthday.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of families, let's be honest, don't get along, and there's not a real good parent-child dynamic going on. Obviously, yours is not the case.
I had three older brothers, and I was the only girl, so probably just took together. I mean, we did things together. We went places together. And when my husband and I got married, I mean, he became the closest next child to my dad, my husband was. So we were all very close.
Very, very interesting. Lydia, very interesting story. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. I'd wonder, it's going to be around for any other birthdays. Should we set a table? Should we set a place at the table? 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. The Ghost Extravaganza. Here's Kirk in Tonawanda. Kirk, you are on WBEN. Welcome to the show. You've got a ghost story for us?
Yeah. Tom, I've called your show a few times on Halloween, and this one takes place right about last year's show, right after. I sent you a picture. My sister had pictures from Florida. She had caught a ghost on one of those special cameras, but I sent it in your Facebook page. But anyway,
what is it like, the SLR camera? Is that what that is?
Yeah, we were just talking about that, and this happened within the same week because it just happened to be the topic of the household. We bought a house about 4 years ago, and I've noticed a couple shadow figures, like same thing as that other gentleman was saying. You know, catching corner of your eye. Nobody else will be home, but like you'll catch like a full figure walk across the room. And there's two. There's a tall one and a short one. Make a long story short, we got my stepdaughters had their friends over, and one of her friends is real sensitive to this stuff. And she didn't know any of this because I never said a word to the girls or anything. Me and my fiance has seen these shadows. But this girl's like, yeah, there's two. And she named one William, and I can't remember the girl's name, but I got them written down. And she said, yeah, you got a brother and a sister here. And I got chills when she said that because the kids didn't know.
So these kids come in, you don't say anything to them about what you've seen, and yet they give you the names, they ID.
Yep, the one girl, yep, she was. They spent the night, the two sisters, and the one sister, she's 12, she goes, yep. You got a brother and a sister here. Their names are, one's William, and I can't remember the girl's name. But, yeah, spooked me up.
So, if they're that sensitive, were they able to give you any more information?
No, other than brother and sister, no.
When did they die? How long have they lived there?
That I don't know. And I kind of wanted to do a little research, so.
Well, I'd have those girls back over again.
Yeah.
And give them a list of questions.
I don't want to spook our daughters out getting into it, you know. They got to live there too, so.
Yeah, well, it's you got to be careful, obviously.
They're young ones. You don't want to spook them out and have them not sleep at night, so.
But so did they to identify these entities or whatever they might be in front of your kid?
Yes, they were talking. Yeah, yeah, they were all talking about it in the bedroom. So, and I just happened to be like, "Whoa!" And I had never.
But if that didn't freak them out, why would you think a subsequent visit would?
Yeah, I guess you're right. I guess you're right.
I mean, it just, I would want more information. Like, how long how long have they been living here? Why are they here? What do they want? And do you want them out?
Yeah, and our house isn't that old. It was early 90s when it was built, so it's not an old house. So,
do you have any idea if any structures might have stood there before?
Yeah, I do. The neighborhood was surrounded by, we're up by the UB campus, which used to be an old racetrack, I guess, back in the early 1800s, from what I hear. So,
racetrack? I thought it was just basically wetland.
No, there was there's like stables at the one building that's a business at the end of our road was a horse stable where they used to do hay back then. So,
Very interesting, sir. Thank you. Thank you very much for the call. And thanks to everybody for all the calls today. I was a little bit concerned that first half hour or so, but you came through with a pretty amazing program. Thanks to Tanner Saunders. Tom Puckett is coming up next with Buffalo's Evening News 6 until 7 at News Radio 930 WBEN. Loves, and I will be back tomorrow from 2 to 6 following David Bellavia, 10 to 2 on News Radio 930 WBEN.